Hello, my valued listeners, and what I see
already. The show's off to a flying start.
All right, let's cut that roll. Take two. Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another scintillating episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Corey, and we'll be spinning some tunes and taking listener calls all evening, at least until midnight. See, I was thinking, like Delilah. Do you ever listen to the show Delilah, DJ?
Dr. Sexopolis?
Yes, she calls and she plays music, but people call in with their problems. And, you know, someone will say, well, you know, I was born with, you know, six toes.
And a vestigial twin growing out of my head.
Exactly. And, you know, my boyfriend let me, do you have a song that, you know, speaks to my feelings? Because, as we all know, music is the universal language.
I thought that was the language of love. Was the universal language?
Okay, Esperanto is the universal language.
Right.
So she's, you know, it's very touching. I actually listen to these stories a lot. And so I want to be Corey reaching out to all my listeners out there. If you have a problem, if you want me to play a song, if you want me to harass or intimidate you, the studio phone number is 412-621-9728. Tonight we have a very, very, very special show.
Only three varies?
Did I say the number too fast? 621-WRCT. Tonight's show, I mean, I've been accused of this before, tonight's show is about the most important kind of love, the love between a person and his self.
Or herself.
Or herself. And that is, of course, known by the technical medical term of masturbation. We are going to be discussing masturbation from all points of view, sociological, medical,
scatological,
political, and religious. And we have two very, very, very special guests in the show, on the show with us tonight,
Francesca's a woman's name.
Like, I went to a public American high school. You know, we're lucky we can, you know, scrawl our own names in crayon. And Belinda, Francisco and Belinda are here to share their unique, powerful, and fascinating points of view. So thank you so much, Belinda, Francisco.
Francisco, like San Francisco.
Can I just call you Frisco?
No.
How about San?
I'm not sure you're talking next to the microphone like our producer ordered you to. Right.
Okay.
That's better. I'm not sure you're committed to talking into the microphone. Become one with the microphone.
But it's too close.
No, the microphone can never be too close.
Right. Like your love for yourself. Never have too close a relationship with the microphone.
Although some people would claim that it's destructive.
Microphones?
Having too close a relationship with yourself.
I think you're jumping ahead of us here.
Okay.
You have to wait, be patient, and follow the calm yet firm guiding hand of DJ Corey.
Well, I mean, I was going to actually just jump right into that. I mean, I think it's kind of exciting to have an actual woman. I mean, a female in our our show because
we had females on the show last week.
That's
and the
so
week
rare.
Before. I'm sorry.
If you're going to contradict me, then you do the lead-in. I'll just sit back and
I'll just sit here quietly.
Belinda, we're very, very, very happy to have you. And actually, I'm a little bit curious about female masturbation because I'm told that women don't actually masturbate. This is only men. You know, every man discovers that when he's 13, like the first time he, you know, brushes up against a turnstile, you know, the hormones start to flow. And then, but I think women just don't have, true or false?
Certainly if you go by the number of terms for masturbation that each sex has, right? Like, I could probably rattle dozens for male masturbation off the top of my head, and I can only think of one for women.
So. I have to say that you're speaking to a rather stinted woman.
Stinted?
In terms of, I grew up in a very overly religious family, and I was told when sitting in the pew that if a man lusted after me, I was sinning. So I grew up most of my life.
If a man lusted after you,
absolutely,
you were sinning?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Was he sinning too?
Probably. Hmm. I mean, your whole life is sin, right? I mean, so I've got a bit of a stilted, rather...
hung up?
No, kind of a little bit of a bitter view, although I'm changing that slowly as various aspects of the way I grew up have changed. But so, I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask if women masturbate.
But surely you have female friends, and surely guys go to the bathroom in huge groups, that's what you talk about, right?
Absolutely not.
No. Do you rub each other's vaginas?
It's never happened
in the bathroom?
I think that only happens in
I know one woman who carries on like men do about masturbation. So there are definitely women who do. And she's also just constantly turned on, and she loves it, and we're all really impressed for her. But it's not something that I relate to. I mean, for me, I have to, you know, put myself in the right state of mind. It's not a switch that automatically turns on because I brush up against a turnstile.
Did you say the way men carry on? What exactly did you mean by that?
Oh, she's just like totally like, you know, the minute you even mention something sexual, her eyes light up, and you know, she's just like, you know, it's like almost a euphoric reaction.
Is this someone I know? Who is this?
No, no names.
Is she listening to us? I mean, can she call in?
Can she call in? No.
But it was really great to meet this woman because for the longest time I thought, you know, that men and women were completely wired differently, and I don't think that's always true. And I might add she grew up in a very religious family too.
Well, I want to turn up the dial on the Wayback Machine back to your own childhood and talk about this, the religious upbringing a little bit. I mean, so what religion was it? Can you talk about that?
Pentecostal.
So, like, snake handling, talking in tongues?
That kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
For real. Wow.
Ironically, you know, they're pro-snake handling, but against...
Snake touching.
Snake handling.
Well, so basically, I mean, I guess the reason I was interested in coming on this show and talking about masturbation is because for many, many years, I never even considered the idea. It was just too taboo.
And well, how many years?
Yeah, I was going to say, how many is many?
Till I was 30, probably.
Really? 30?
Yeah. And it took some marijuana to open me up. No, seriously.
Of course, you were overseas in another country where it was illegal.
No.
Yes, you
were. Oh, yes, of course, right? of course. And also, you know, the right kind of reading and the right kind of friends, and eventually one thing leads to another.
Friends?
No, I mean...
Like in the room with you?
No, like people who talk about it in a way that doesn't seem totally appalling, right? It's like, oh, maybe this isn't just completely atrocious, perverted, you know, kill yourself tomorrow behavior. I mean, that's the way I grew up. And so after all these years, I finally come to the conclusion that it's like farting or picking your nose, that it's just completely... a normal biological function and big deal. What's the big deal? I mean, so now I've acquired this opinion, and other people that I know from going way, way back have made it their life crusade to completely eliminate any form of lustful feelings in themselves whatsoever because it's evil. And so I just find this whole thing in my life right now really, really ironic and interesting.
So if I can jump back again. So you said you were 30 for the first time you ever masturbated. But at what point had you kind of given up your religion or decided that wasn't for you or become non-religious?
Well, I first decided to engage in sexual endeavors as an experiment in high school. I mean, in college, sorry. And it was kind of like, well, why am I miserable? Why is my life not perfect? What's the one thing that I don't have that everybody else has? And it was like sex. So I was like, well, maybe I should try this, you know? So, and I had to like force myself to try it. I went out, it was like an experiment, you know?
Like try sex.
Yes, you know, find somebody that, you know.
How old were you?
I was probably 21 or something.
21 and still a virgin.
That's my religious upbringing. Mm-hmm. And the first time I had to, you know, I was in another country, shall we say. You know, the first year I was in another country, you know, because it's like, I mean, otherwise I was going to rot in hell. It was like, my God, who could, you know, consider doing such a gross activity, you know, when you're not married? And
so I'm fascinated by this. I mean, so you decided when you're 21, so you're either a senior in college or just graduating, and you decided, gall darn it, I'm going to go out and have sex with some man.
I'm going to try. What's the one thing in my life that's abnormal?
Had you had boyfriends in college?
Like, yes, absolutely. And they respected my...
So what did you do? I mean, when it came time to be...
In church, you know what they told you? Don't go below the neck. Then you're safe.
Don't go.
That was the rule we got at the summer camp.
So what if you stood on your head?
You're too clever. Yeah, I had a friend at church who got thrown out of the Christian camp we were at because he got caught necking in the chapel with his girlfriend.
Wow.
Meanwhile, my boyfriend at Christian camp was giving me a really hard time that all I wanted to do was kiss.
Huh.
So in any event, you had to be creative. But
yeah, well, I'm thinking, you know, it's actually kind of fascinating a little bit because you've heard stories of people who tragically lose, they become paralyzed, they become quadriplegic, like, you know, that... I'm sure you know several people have been injured this way. Larry Flint, or the guy, you know, Tom Cruise's character in Born on the 4th of July. Or that guy in Monkey Shines. The point I'm trying to make here is that these people tend to adapt kind of creatively to the sexual process. They kind of eroticize the parts of their body that still do have feeling. I mean, I take it away at some point once you I'm trying to activate your memory banks here. But
I've heard of this, but you're saying it far better than I could.
You know, the point is that, you know, let's say you have no feeling below your neck. Well, they might kind of start to focus their sexual feeling on their earlobe or some other sensitive
right.
place. And I'm just thinking, could the same process be happening with Christian youths? If you're only allowed touching and sexual fondling above the neck, can you, like, you know...
Orgasmic kissing, you mean?
Can you make... I mean, you must be, like, the world's most amazing kisser.
Well, I don't know. Interesting. I do have to, like, in all fairness to the church, something really interesting happened to some of my family members in the last 10 years. There was a crusade to bring sex back into the marriage and make it enjoyable that happened. And so some churches are going through a revolution in, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who are starting to recognize that kind of the environment that I grew up in isn't necessarily productive to people enjoying their sexuality, which is something God gave you after all. So,
in fact, I was reading an article not long ago, maybe a year ago or so. I think it was on one of these disreputable online magazines like Slate or so on about it was a first person kind of report on this sex toy party. Similar to a Tupperware party, church ladies were having down south, like in Alabama.
Church ladies, well,
yeah, a bunch of women at the Baptist church. They were having like a dildo party.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is that I think
part of this. I'm not making this up.
I think there are some people in
it's like the Mormon foam party.
No.
I
can give you references.
I believe you.
What did you make? But did you say what you're going to say on that topic?
Yes, then
well,
you smack me down. Thank you.
I think that people. Like myself, who've had experiences like myself, have grown up feeling completely uncomfortable with having any sexual feelings at all, which is clearly not what the Bible or the church intends.
After all, there's the Song of Songs.
Right? Well, and there's also the fact that you're supposed to be able to procreate, and that shouldn't be completely, you know, abhorrent to somebody, right?
So invented turkey.
Yeah, so I think the church in general is starting to kind of open up to the idea that maybe there's more being read into their little rules than what they intended. I mean, when they told us this stuff in Christian camp, it was to keep us from having sex when we were young, which I'm actually glad I didn't have sex earlier. I mean, in hindsight, I'm perfectly happy that, you know, I didn't end up pregnant or, you know, abused by some older guy. So for me, I don't mind that. What I do mind, however, is still to this day not feeling comfortable flirting with a man. And that's a religious thing. So... And I furthermore really have a hard time with the fact that I have some friends that I respect and care greatly for who completely and totally think that, you know, rubbing that part of your body is evil. And I just don't understand how something like that can be evil. And so I think that there's some aspect of religious, you know, mores that have kind of gone overboard and are becoming very, very counterproductive. And, I think that's more what concerns me.
I mean, I don't think I've ever heard it described as evil, but I think what sort of, you know, standard Christian doctrine or so is that, you know, you have these feelings and they're powerful, but they're for a reason, and, you know, you're obligated to channel them appropriately. So it's not like the church is anti-sex, but it's like it's pro-sex within the context of, you know, marriage and fidelity with one partner and for the purpose of procreation, right?
So can you masturbate with your partner there? Is that okay?
Well, no, I mean, so the traditional argument against masturbation, I think, is that, you know, you are giving in to this kind of, this desire of your flesh. You're not controlling it. Take it away.
No, an empty desire, I guess, is the phrase I've heard, too.
So like, when you do that with a person, is it no longer empty?
This is something to ask your priest, rabbi, or minister. But, like, the standard religious arguments against masturbation come from two arenas. One, you know, there's some textual evidence for that masturbation is bad, right? The whole story of Onan in the Bible, who rather than having sex with his dead brother's wives, jerked it into the ground, basically, and this made God very angry. And the second one is this more like DJ Corey was saying, the fact that you're supposed to, you know, we're higher beings. We're not animals. We have control over our urges and our needs, just as one can say, I'm not going to eat that donut because it's bad for me. One can say, I'm not going to have premarital sex because it's bad for my soul. I'm not going to jerk off because, I'm not going to masturbate because...
I think it's more the wallowing in lust side of it.
Right, it's wallowing in lust and it's giving in to these urges, which are ultimately empty because you're not using it to procreate. You're not using it in a loving celebration of what God gave you.
So, you know, if you're happily married and you have sex once a week and you're using birth control, is that empty? I mean, see, this is the problem I have with the whole kind of like assigning good or bad to whether or not you have sex. I mean, I agree. I wouldn't want to have sex with somebody if it wasn't a loving, meaningful relationship. I mean, I can understand all of that stuff.
I disagree, but
yeah, well, good. But what I really have a problem with is this notion that, you know, I mean, ultimately what religion says is have sex when you want to procreate. I mean, that to me just seems ridiculous. You know, dogs don't lick themselves when they want to procreate. You know?
Well, we're not dogs, right? We are.
Well, I know, but we are dogs. I mean, and that's what I would claim. I'd say, you know, why are we like trying so hard to remove ourselves from any kind of animal desires? You know, it's like you don't keep yourself from picking your nose. I mean, that's a normal. I mean, I just don't see the difference.
Your analogies are flying left, right, and center here. They're hard to kind of all corral into one place.
You are going to be in the doghouse if you kick your microphone stand one more time.
Sorry.
Control your bodily urges.
So I can tell Francisco's champing at the bit to give us his point of view on this. Yes,
well,
Lord.
I kept on talking over you earlier. You have something to say, clearly.
No, I was just adding something you were saying.
So let's turn our laser-like view, vision, probe onto you and ask you some questions, which hopefully you'll answer into the microphone. So you, when was the first time you masturbated? How old were you? Maybe you should give us some history of yourself, like our other guest did. You know, did you grow up in a religious environment?
Yes, I did, in a Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I mean, both my parents were quite serious about it and seriously practicing Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
But quite progressive, so I don't think it was anything as extreme as what Belinda says.
Nothing's quite as extreme as American Christianity.
Right.
So this was there were strict Catholics. They didn't practice birth control, for example. It's kind of my canonical measure of.
What I think that what you'll find is that that's one issue where a very large number of Catholics dissent from doctrine,
mm-hmm,
willingly and knowing that they are dissenting.
Right.
So, yeah, I only have one sister.
So you went to church every week?
Yes. So now I'm no longer practicing Catholic, but mm-hmm, that's how I was brought up, and that was the moral code I've steered myself by, and it's still something that's present and which I do understand, and I understand someone who lives within that.
And so do you still find yourself bound and hung up, if I can use American slang, as Belinda says, by these things you were taught as a kid, that sex was bad, that masturbation was bad, that lusting after women is bad?
Not more than I was before, because I've always had trouble with the this is evil because it follows from a given scriptural point or some doctrinal interpretation of a given scriptural point. I was never very convinced by that, although maybe with hindsight I should have been. And I've always tried to rationalize why might this be bad, or in some cases it's not just doctrinal interpretation, it's also a matter of why is this traditionally being considered bad. I think, as far as I recall, masturbation has always been considered a bad thing, at least in Christian and then Catholic tradition. So it need not be the case that something follows directly from one verse in the Bible or something
right,
like that.
Right.
Or maybe, actually, that would be interesting. I don't know if there's any culture where public masturbation or sort of openness about that is condoned. Because even amongst my friends who are not religious at all, that's not a topic that's broached.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet we probably have anthropologists in the audience, right? Maybe they could call in and tell us. I'm sure there must be some culture somewhere where tugging it in public is...
See, I think this whole thing is really interesting because, like you were saying when you were a child, that you thought it was bad and you have no religious upbringing. And so the question is how much of this is spawned from religion and how much of it is just something else?
I think that's an impossible question to answer for a couple reasons. One is, like, so how much of, if we're going to talk about me, like how much of my, like, when I was 12 or 13, how much of my feeling bad over masturbation, how much came from religion? Well, very little of it came from going to church because my family wasn't very religious. But so most of it came from peer pressure. Now, where did those kids get the idea? Probably from church or from the culture at large, which is so heavily influenced by the church. So I think it's impossible to disentangle church and not church reasons. Do you know what I mean?
But you think the peer pressure was towards it being negative? Because I remember kids around me, say 12, 13, discussing what they did last night and nice porn magazines, and then just how far they could throw it, et cetera, et cetera.
And, wow. And so yeah, just for my day, if I may digress, do you remember any specific numbers?
I think I remember someone being very thrilled about 3 meters.
Whoa!
You're talking about how far they can shoot their sperm? Is that what
yes.
you're talking about?
3 meters. That's impressive. That's Olympic.
Like, that's like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they do like peeing contests before puberty, and then that's what they turn to.
Wow, that's some powerful prostate.
See, I've always had this impression that that's what men carried on like in junior high and high school. And what I can say is that with women, I've never – none of my women friends have been embarrassed to talk about masturbation. There's like no shame, I don't think, in kind of the females I've talked to. Now, I tend to, you know, collect certain kinds of women, but friends. But I mean, I wonder how much of this shame regarding masturbation is because men are so much more kind of visual, and it's such more of a struggle to kind of control yourselves to, you know, be able to carry on in a normal circumstance. I mean, I have to exercise myself to masturbate, and I don't think men do.
I'm going to get you to hold that thought because we've got a caller on the show. The callers always shoot first. So is the caller on the air?
Hi there.
Hi. Hello. Thank you so much for calling in.
So I just understand you were talking about the differences between shame about masturbation for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had some thoughts about that. Obviously, since women start masturbating much younger than men.
Really?
I wonder whether it's because they begin masturbating before they have any sense of the concept of sin.
Sense of the concept of what? I'm sorry, you're very faint.
Of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Skin or sin?
Sin.
So you think men have a more highly developed sense of sin? Is that what you're saying?
No, because they begin masturbating at an older age, say maybe 13 or 14, whereas girls will start at, say, 11. I started masturbating at 11 myself.
Wow.
And at such an early age, I'm wondering whether we have less of a sense of right and wrong and less of a build up less of an idea about the taboo about masturbation.
Oh, I see. Because you start young when you don't have much of a sense of right and wrong.
Right.
By the time you get older,
getting the benefit of innocence.
It's part of your lifestyle and you don't really judge it. I see. Same way we would.
But I think it's not so much that, but it's connected with the onset of desire per se. And of it as a way of satisfying it. I don't think no one starts doing it mechanically.
Right, but I mean the onset of desire. I mean the onset of puberty in men and women is at different ages, and consequently the onset of desire is at different ages.
So I'd like to just ask how did you discover this facility in yourself? Do you remember your first time?
I do actually. I was in sixth grade, and it was actually kind of funny. I was with a group of girls from my class, and for some reasons unknown to me, they were playing role-playing games at lunchtime. We'd go into the classroom.
Like Dungeons and Dragons or Master and Slave?
Well, Teacher and Headmaster, I think, was a popular theme.
Much more fun than Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
Teacher and Headmaster.
So, you know, it was a group of about 4 girls, like we're all about 11, and everyone would be sort of assigned a role, and then the sort of head girls, I mean, you know, the toughest girls would be the teacher, like the female teacher and the headmaster, and then they'd have this kind of simulated sex, and the teacher would be sort of lying down on the ground and the headmaster would be sitting on her and kind of, you know, frotting or something. And the whole experience was kind of strange to me. I didn't know why they were doing that, but I started to feel these, you know, feelings.
Right.
Kind of, you know, in my belly or something. And then I went home that night sort of just feeling these things, and I mean, I think I knew what masturbation was, but I'd never really thought about it before then. But, you know, having to get, you know, all this sort of, I guess, sex play, you know, in a real sort of theatrical kind of way, led me to try it out. So I presume that those girls were also doing similar kinds of things at home, or if they weren't, that was why they were playing those games at school.
So... keeping the detail now up, when you went home, how did you proceed? How did you know what to do? Did you pour, you know, did you make a big bubbly bubble bath? Did you pour yourself some champagne?
Oh, no, I didn't have any champagne. I just lay in bed, I think, and I just sort of touched and tapped, really, and just sort of, I mean, I remember over the next few years sort of experimenting with different sorts of tapping and rubbing and things. I think just sort of pressing with my fingers at first.
I mean, I think it's just fascinating that here we have the caller who started at age 11 or so, and we have an in-studio guest who started at age 30, and there's a whole world of difference between those two numbers and how it's affected, you know, how it's affected your attitudes toward the whole thing, I think.
Well, I think my attitudes are changing a lot, but it's, I've had to, like, go actively out of my way to just familiarize myself with things that, I mean, the first time I started thinking that sexual enjoyment for the whole point of sexual enjoyment was okay, it was when I saw this kind of soft erotic film, and it was very beautiful, and there was nothing nasty about it at all, and it was like I just needed a different context to view things in.
It was Max Hardcore 7, Little Anal Annie, right?
No. It was very, very arty and not very... But I mean, it sounds like the same kind of experience the caller's describing. It's not something negative at all. It's just something fine that you do, and then you do something else, and it's like no big deal.
But right, and I think it's interesting. I mean, you personally were very sexually... Well, you were sexually active long before you were masturbationally active.
Yeah, that was another thing I had to, like, decide to get over because it just seemed too creepy to me. And it was like a whole mental thing. It had nothing to do with the act itself.
What was too creepy?
It's just the whole mental idea of...
Sex with men?
No, of setting aside time to touch myself and enjoy it. It was like...
Just embarrassing?
Yeah, it's embarrassing to myself. It's like, oh my God, I enjoy this. Ooh, you know, what is that? It's like, it was just didn't compute with everything I'd been told for so many years. And now I've really, really come to the conclusion that it feels good and, you know, I'm not going to do it very long and I hardly ever do it anyways, but...
So, caller, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
So, obviously, you didn't have the same kind of religious upbringing that our guest did, right?
No. My life, I guess, was relatively religion-free.
And so was there ever a point in your life after this where you felt ashamed or embarrassed of what you did or told people, oh, no, I don't do that? Or were you always, like, accepting and okay with it?
It's actually always been fine with me. Only embarrassing incidents I've had is when I've explained to people some non-sexual uses of masturbation I've had.
Non-sexual uses of masturbation?
Right. So, when you, I mean, for me, I think of masturbation as something you do like because you have sexual tension, but also maybe because you're stressed or you're bored or, you know, you're worried about you know, things coming up and you just want to get your mind off them. And I'm not sure that that is as universal as masturbation for the relief of sexual tension. So some people, I think that's a little bit weird.
Hmm.
But actually, if it's a non-sexual use, do you actually think of someone, or is it purely mechanical?
Well, I mean, I can think about sort of, you know, good outcomes. Think of success. Think of, you know, think of my first novel being published.
Are you serious? I mean, are you using masturbation as some kind of, like, neuro-linguistic programming where you're
exactly,
actually
yeah.
thinking of positive things and
yeah.
then reinforcing them?
I mean, it's not
them?
So common now, but I used to do it in high school when I was sort of stressed out about exams and things like that.
Hmm. You know, I'm going to get an A. Are you...
Well, I mean, I'm stressed out because I'm not going to finish, you know, they're not going to get through this exam, so I should have to feel better. Yeah.
So, does it work?
Yeah.
I mean, you should
in the short term.
Maybe this is the key to your completion of your thesis, DJ Corey.
I was actually thinking, you know, it's funny, I was actually thinking about that. I was like, you know, when I go to bed, sometimes... Whenever I go to sleep, I have this nightly ritual where I just enter this kind of fantasy mode where I think about my favorite fantasies, and it's usually like, you know... It's usually about...
A suit of 1,000 penises?
Well, it's not necessarily sexual. I mean, I actually don't masturbate. I mean, I used to masturbate before going to bed, before I was partnered up, and now, you know...
You have somebody...
So you never do
it?
Well, now every masturbation is a kind of betrayal, because...
Really?
Well, no, it's okay, but it's sort of like, you know, my partner would like to be there or help out. Even if we're not doing full-fledged sex, it's still like, well, why don't we, you know, masturbate at the same time, or, like, why don't we do each other, or whatever...
So you go out of your way to engage in quiet time.
Well, I mean here's the real problem with this. And
I find that very surprising.
Well, and there's a specific reason for that, and that he has a huge sexual appetite. I mean, he wants it like three times a day, and I'm like once a week, maybe twice a week kind of guy. And so, like, if I'm masturbating, I mean, I've wasted one of those like very rare slots which he would rather have. If we were doing it every day, then maybe it would be okay if I just took some private time. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm not sharing the precious resource. The point was, yeah, I've actually sort of wondered about that. I mean, my fantasies are typically like, you know, I fantasize about, you know, what happens when I become commander of the world or, you know, when people they reveal my true identity, that I'm not just, you know, I'm not just, you know, a failed grad student, but actually, you know, a spy who's
a princess.
Right. You know, I'm a spy who's been put in grad school to spy on the rest of the department.
On the deviants.
And that makes you masturbate?
No. These are just the fantasies that I use to sort of go to sleep as I'm just sort of like go into my own dream world. And I was thinking maybe, you know, I should think about, you know, having – I should think about positive kind of affirmations like, you know, I will be successful. You know, everyone likes me.
Right, and imagine coupling that with an orgasm.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question is, does it work? I mean, are you, you know
– Well, I'm definitely successful.
She's what?
Definitely successful.
Well, yeah, maybe – although the topic of the show is masturbation, maybe since you already expressed your concerns about spilling your limited resource – maybe you should involve your lover in this, right? Like, maybe as he's doing you in one way or the other, like, think thesis thoughts. You know, the moment of the little death. Imagine your defense or something. I don't know. Or maybe that had the opposite desired effect. Maybe you'd instantly go flaccid.
Well, I think there is the danger of that. And I think, actually, you know, the danger is that the association might go the other way. I might associate sex with the pain that is my thesis. And, you know, that would be awful. I actually have a question for the caller and for our panel of
experts.
And this actually goes back to the religious thing a little bit. I actually find the religious arguments to be kind of interesting, but also actually extremely subtle. I mean, you have to kind of be like a PhD in religionology to get all this stuff. I mean, where do people, like the common guy that just goes to church and, you know, just like gets the basic message, you know, do this, don't do that. How do they ever get any kinds of these messages without distorting them? And question B, I mean, and the reason I'm asking is that it certainly was distorted in my family. I mean, my father was, you know, a sort of practicing Catholic, but by the time the message got to me, it was pretty kind of condensed and, you know. And he literally said one time we were driving around and he's like, you know, do you ever play with yourself? I had no idea what that even meant. And I'm like, you know, yes, no, I had no idea. And then he said, you know, do you touch your Peter? Not referring to St. Peter, but my own little St. Peter. And so he's like, well, you know, those feelings are for marriage. And that was it. And, you know, not very well explained. And I'm just wondering, in general, like, how do, you know, you can answer my question. Do people have to go to, like, I mean, I know some people go to catechism for years and get this drummed into them, but, like, do you have to, like, how does the common man get the subtle point without getting it all distorted?
Well, I think that's the reason why there's some new little phases of, you know, rah-rah sessions going on in churches to get people to start enjoying sex. Because the problem is that if you say, oh, you can only enjoy it when you're in the marriage bed, then all of a sudden you run into this huge contradiction of, well, when can I do it in the marriage bed, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Am I doing it to procreate? Am I doing it to get my rah-rahs off? That certainly happens when you're married once in a while. And at times like that, you can be very glad masturbation exists if you're not in the mood. No, I'm serious, you know, but I mean, it's like, what's the difference between being married and being madly in love with someone and living with them for 20 years? I mean, how often can you get it off? When is it selfish and when isn't? I mean, I think that's the problem with a lot of, you know, trying to find a rule for when you should have sex or when you shouldn't. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused, because of what I heard when I went to church was just, you better make sure you're doing it for the right reason, but nobody really knew what that was, because what, you're going to do it the three times you have children? Or you see what I'm saying? And then the three times you do have it, you're going to automatically enjoy it and know what to do. I mean, you know, this takes practice. It's not something that you're just instantly good at.
Yeah, I think the message also, if I understand what DJ 2000 was getting at there, is that the message doesn't just come from churches and from say, popular culture, but also it comes a lot from your parents. And I guess I'm quite in an opposite situation than some of your panelists. I didn't have a religious upbringing at all. And I think my parents were quite comfortable with matters relating to sex. So I remember sometime when I was very small, like 4 years old or something, there was a situation with me and my brother and children looking at other children's genitals and so on. And my parents just sort of said, oh, well, you know, didn't say anything at all that implied it was a bad thing. It was just sort of, you know, be careful and don't put things up there because you could get hurt, you know, but in a very calm manner.
Were your parents like hippies or what?
I don't know. Not really. I don't know. So, but, you know, but not religious people, I guess. And I think that if other people are getting the opposite message from their parents, which I think is pretty common, like, don't do that, then that's really going to sort of put a damper on their kind of enthusiasm for masturbation, maybe.
So, I mean, I want to ask a related question of our esteemed panel. I mean, it's interesting, you know, there is this connection between sexuality and – there's the obvious connection between sexuality and pleasure. And I'm wondering, you know, if the sort of church's strictures against this aren't really sort of – their hidden agenda is, you know, the suppression of pleasure. And so I want to ask on a challenger panelist by asking them, you know, what would the church say about – cocaine, heroin, speedballs, which are, you know, intensely pleasurable, far more pleasurable than sex, and, you know, in a non-drug kind of domain, you know, it won't be long, 10 or 15 years maybe, before it'll be relatively straightforward to, like, implant, you know, everyone will have
a... Certainly neither of these are mentioned in the Bible.
Right.
Thou shalt not mainline smack.
Right, or...
But that's actually a sort of a fallacious argument in the sense that...
Don't call my... Last time someone called my arguments asinine, they got kicked off the show.
He said fallacious, not asinine.
Oh, I thought he said fallatio. I'm sorry. Go ahead. But I actually didn't make my point, which was the electrodes in the pleasure center of the brain.
Right.
Which we're
trying to... Oh, I'm all for that.
You know, 25 years from now, easy.
Well, so then what's wrong with masturbation?
Okay, but what's the fallacious argument?
No, it's... If you resort to just saying, because it's not literally written in some translation or double translation of what people wrote down as informed by particular perspectives 2,000 years ago, then it's not covered or even discussed. That's not quite right. There's probably a tradition of interpreting this, and there's also, and you can try to reason about it and to live to the principle rather than to the letter of the thing.
Right. So, I mean, agreed. And I actually wasn't making that argument. I was not making the argument that if it's not in the Bible, then it's okay. What I was making was, the argument was, you know, if the church would be against either heroin, cocaine, speedballs, or which you could argue are, I mean, it's a different kind of arguments, or direct stimulation of the pleasure centers of your brain. If they were against it, what justification would they use, and would that justification be justified?
Well, in my view, you'd either go at it two ways. One is somehow you can, from scripture, from tradition, figure out that whatever is in concern is bad or evil in some way. Or you could judge it by the ultimate consequences that it will have, and that's what, and you cannot get, you cannot really get free of the second one. Even so, if you let's say at this point I'm an agnostic, so I don't really have to care about what any religion says about masturbation, say. But if I conclude that for some reason it's bad for me, or it leads to bad consequences, then I should be concerned. If you can look at the implants, say, and think, there's nothing inherently evil about this, I'm just applying shocks somewhere in my brain and I get an hour-long orgasm. It's great. But maybe it will have bad consequences for you, and therefore you'll deem it bad.
I think a big part of it is just comes down to the incredibly boring answer of tradition, right? Because if we use your example, well, the church would speak out against it if it had long-term bad consequences. Well, why hasn't the Catholic Church, you know, proclaimed a fatwa against smoking in the last 50 years?
But the church speaks out about things that do have bad consequences, and they don't even realize it.
Most people do want some kind of guidance. I'm not saying that's necessarily good.
You're missing my point, is that, like, clearly that's not a motive, and I think this is what DJ Corey was getting at. Clearly just it's bad for you in the long term is not enough of a reason for, say, the Pope to say this is bad, like, or he would have said this about smoking or about driving cars. But I see we have a caller.
Hello, caller. Thank you for calling in.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you. Do you
have a question?
Yes, I do.
Comment or concern?
I was. you were talking earlier about religion and how religion was used as a deterrent for masturbation amongst teenagers.
Right.
And but in my experience, I had something a bit different happen. One day, my father handed me a newspaper article, and this article was talking about the dangers of masturbation, in particular that it would cause, if done too vigorously, it would cause damage to nerves and loss of sensitivity.
Was this from like 1912 or something? This, which it called blindness and baldness and the ague too. Well, how recently was this article written?
I would guess in the 80s sometime.
Wow.
I can understand people making that argument.
And the argument was not to do it. It was just do not do it with violence or something. I don't
know. Wow. Well, actually, in that same vein, I have read an article, and I could even find it on the web again if forced to, but that showed some evidence that women who use vibrators to masturbate, frequently use vibrators to masturbate, actually have trouble achieving orgasm without them. And this is over a long term. This is like years and years of vibrator use. And this article had two points. It's like, well, one, it could be some kind of temporary numbing of the nerves. And two, it could just be like, look, if you have the vibrator, it's kind of the perfect masturbation tool. And no man is going to be able to reproduce the, you know, the micrometer perfection of aim and the, you know, micro-Newton perfection of intensity that the vibrator will be able to reproduce. Was that what this article was about? Was it for men or for women or for both?
This was for men, actually.
Interesting.
Well, that gets back to maybe being able to make a practical, non-judgmental argument why rubbing yourself very fast down there might not necessarily be the best thing to do.
Right? It raises your expectations.
Well, or it just changes your sensory perceptions in some way that changes how you'd experience sex later. Or I don't know.
I mean, I can certainly play that.
Yeah, and that's the physical aspect. I was interested in why you thought it was a bad thing.
What?
Masturbation.
Oh, I mean, as a kid, I guess just because everybody did, and it made you a fag if you did it. I don't know. Like, how fully developed were my rationale and thought processes at the age of 12? Not particularly. I mean, I was barely a shaved monkey at that point. But I don't really know. I mean, it was just a bad thing to do, and you didn't talk about it. And guys who did it got punched even more. So.
Really?
Well, sure, yeah.
Hey, you think they'd be happy it worked?
No. Like, other guys would punch you if you talked about it, is my point. Like,
really?
I just didn't mention it, you know.
Wow.
I can't believe this is unusual. Like,
well, see,
I can't believe, yeah. Well, I have the same problem.
I mean, we certainly weren't shooting for a distance in my hometown.
No, I remember guys in the same class having discussions about technical details, and I'm being very curious about the whole thing because I couldn't exactly figure out how it happened. I did some research, but all the dictionary definitions were extremely vague. They mentioned at most rubbing and...
Right.
And if you just rub it, it doesn't quite work. It's not like a magic lamp or anything.
Well, that's, I guess, my big concern about, you know, what I saw, for instance, happen with my parents. I mean, for many years I grew up in this family where there was no sexuality exuded, even though obviously they had kids. And now all of a sudden they're talking about how, you know, it's easy in a Christian environment, or probably a lot of other religions, although I'm only familiar with Christianity, to have it kind of destroy the good things about sexuality just kind of inadvertently because of the reasons you were saying. It's hard to get those ideas across without maybe there being some kind of fallout or whatever. And so they're not, I mean, you don't just know how to masturbate. I mean, somewhere along the line, you got to practice. I mean, the first time I tried, it didn't work very well either. You know, it's like.
So how many times did it take you before you successfully?
I'll tell you. Marijuana in another country really had a lot to do with.
And so it was, but I mean, it was several times. Like you tried it, it didn't work. You just got embarrassed.
Well, you
got
to like get to know yourself a little bit, which is why this whole thing of, you know, you're going to get married and instantly have the
I'm
sex.
Looking for hard numbers here. You're not working.
Oh, right. I don't know, 2, 3.
Oh, okay, so it's not like dozens.
No.
Months or years of experimentation. I see.
So I'm curious. Is our first caller there the woman that who seemed to be possibly from New Zealand or Australia? She's still with us.
I think they booted her off.
No, she's gone. Okay. I guess she has sex to have or something.
I mean, I can't help but think, like, hearing different people and their different attitudes, that, you know, your childhood can be so, so different. So you, Dr. Sexopoulos, when you grew up, you know, your friends would beat you up for thinking, punch you for thinking about, for mentioning masturbation. Whereas our New Zealand caller, you know, her friends, like, had simulated sex.
Right.
You know, they had that whole kind of women's prison headmaster, whatever that was all about. They were, like, humping on the schoolyard. And so, my point, as always, is elusive and shadowy. But I was, Belinda, I thought it was interesting what you said, which was that masturbation took practice, and that's got to be a woman thing, I think. I mean, this whole like getting to know your body, getting comfortable with it, getting understanding how it works.
I think that's a woman thing. Yeah,
that's got to be a woman thing because you know.
Well, and I've never heard women talk about like being appalled that their friends masturbate. I mean, so I wonder how much of this male punching and 12-year-olds has to do with.
I mean, I grew up in a very tiny town in the woods.
That's like, homosexual so, sublimation, I think.
No, but
so
how much?
Who knows, like what kind of just generic like conservative redneckism like. Influenced all this.
I guess what I'm wondering is how much of our views on masturbation as a society, since so many things are kind of set from a patriarchal point of view, how much of them has to do with control issues that maybe women don't have when it comes to masturbation in general.
And who knows what kind of like ill-defined like homophobia was responsible for this too. Like, well, if you touch yourself, clearly that meant you like penises, and liking penises equals big gay guy that we get to beat up every day. You know? I don't know.
Did you ever try to suck on your own penis?
Of course.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Can't reach it, though.
Are you serious?
Every guy has.
Francisco, is this true of you?
Like
whoa.
Yay,
fire alarm has gone off in the studio.
What the fuck?
Man, that sucks. I don't know if we have to leave or if we're cut
off.
Can
we go out?
I'm just going to keep talking.
That is so lame. I guess it's the end of sex talk for this week. Tune in next week.
Wow,
same jerk happened before. Same wank channel.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs.